You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome to the only six-star radio wrestling show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I am your co-host, Jordan the Body Fox, and I just said our intro backwards. And my main man is back today. The Great Black Hype, Mr. Ray Cash. Ray, what's up, man?
They tried to run me off, man. They put me in podcast jail.
Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in.
Well, and to be fair, you know, some people miss stuff because of, you know, injury or sickness. I missed because I was trying to be a good dad. So
being a good Faja, man, being a good Faja.
I at least had a good reason, yes.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. We gave you a big shout out on the show whenever you were out of commission for the day. You were actually gone. Yeah, of course. You were actually gone 2 days, but the second day we took off together and we did World Class Weekly that we recorded the night before, me and Jerry the Boss Bostic, CEO of World Class Revolution. So technically we got a day off together. Did you get to hear the interview, man? Because that interview with Prince Al-Farrakh, well, he doesn't actually go, he told me not to, that he doesn't go by Prince anymore. He said off air, I think he said I'm 48 years old, or he said his age, and he said, I don't look too much like a prince anymore. Anyway, I popped pretty hard when he said that. I was like, oh, that's shit. Right.
No, I hadn't got a chance to listen to it. Things have been really hectic, but after the show today, I got nothing to do for the weekend. So I got stuff to catch up on. And real quick, Chris Platt, I appreciate you for stepping in, brother. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, Chris, dude, he was an awesome dude. He came in and filled your seat for the show on Wednesday, and he was super cool to work with. I told him he's got an open invite to come and join you and I anytime he wants to come up here. He said the first time that I said a cuss word on the show, it was probably like a third of the way through. And he's like, oh, shit, we can cuss? Fuck, shit, damn, gosh, damn, ass. Oh, dude, I laughed for 5 minutes, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, we've tried not to recently, but, you know.
Hey, sometimes it just comes out, man. Sometimes it just comes out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. While we're on the subject, don't forget to check out Chris Pratt. Mr. Christopher Pratt is what I was calling him. He is on Pot is War. I believe it comes out on Thursdays. He's on Chair Shot Radio, which comes out on Fridays. He is our radio personality at the Chair Shot Radio Network. I actually asked him before we went on air. I asked him, so do you do much writing for Chair Shot? Because I want to look back at some of your articles and give you a shout out and stuff like that. And he said, well, my writing could be sporadic at times, but I'm trying to get full time. So be on the lookout for that. The reason I said that little behind the scenes story is because I'm the same way. Like, I got all these things that I want to write about, but after you and I are on the radio, and podcast and, you know, all that, I'm just like, man, maybe I'll write tomorrow, you know? So that's why I push, your articles so much, Ray, because you are putting in the work, my friend. You are putting it in. So, kudos to you. You can ask any podcaster out there if, doing a daily show alone is putting in the work. I was talking to, I'm about to name drop a bit, My main man, my friend, he bought me Subway, so it's pretty much, you know, our love is official. So
y'all are besties, yeah.
We're besties, but Cole Cabana, whenever I picked him up, he was like, yeah, man, we were talking about the podcast, and he was like, yeah, Jerry said that you were hosting the show. How often, what day? He was asking all the questions. I said, well, me and my boy Ray, we actually do a daily morning show. And he was like, God damn, daily? What? He thought something was wrong with me, man.
Well, something is wrong with us, but yes.
But, yeah, freaking phenomenal dude, Colt. But anyway, yeah, Christopher Platt, don't forget to follow him. It's at The Real C Pratt. That's The Real C, as in ABC, and then PRATT. Go follow the man. He had the coolest nickname for himself ever, and I'm about to drop it on you right now, Ray, since you haven't had a chance. Or did you listen to mine and Christopher's show, right?
I haven't had a chance to listen to anything, man.
Oh, okay. Well, get this.
Yeah.
Get this nickname, and you're going to be mad that you and I didn't think of it first. Mr. Velvet Pipes.
Come on, man.
Huh?
Are you a podcaster, or are you the dude? Are you like a new R&B singer? Velvet Pipes. What?
I thought that was the coolest nickname ever. I was like, oh my god, that would fit Ray so good. He could be like, you could have been. It's too late now, but you could have been Mr. Velvet Pipes, and I could have been White Lightning. Boom. White Lightning, because I'm
what
quick.
What the hell is going on? Wow.
Oh, man. I actually stole that White Lightning, too. Man, I'm just stealing everything this morning. If you remember... If you remember on Major League 2, remember the baseball movie? When Omar Epps is playing the Willie Hayes.
Willie Mays Hayes.
Wesley Snipes played it in the first movie, but Omar Epps comes in. I believe it's Omar Epps comes in the second one.
Yeah.
And he's in a movie with Jesse the Body Ventura, and it's called White Lightning, Black Thunder. And it's him and Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's hilarious. So both of your nicknames are stolen from that movie. The Body and White Lightning.
I didn't even think of it like that. Both of them from the same person.
Yeah. So next thing you know, you're going to start calling yourself Wild Thing.
Oh, no, dude. Jesse's Body Ventura kicked my ass, bro. He don't play around.
He's kind of old. You might be able to take him now.
I might be able to, but you know he's got to have like some Secret Service, like state-level Secret Service anyway. They could probably break my arm or some shit.
This is true.
Yeah.
You might not want to mess with him.
I heard on something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard one time. He was in the bathroom. He was in the locker room changing. He was the only one in there, I guess. He was running Gorilla for a while. And the second half of the show, he was going to do a Brother Love segment. So he goes back. He's changing. No one else is in there. Well, the door slings open. And he's kind of like tucked away in this corner, like in the showers where you can't see him. And anyway, he hears the door sling open, and it's Vince's voice yelling. And he's like, God damn it, I'm not giving you any more money. I don't understand, like, what makes you think you're entitled to more money? And who he's talking to is Jesse the Body Ventura, who is saying, hey, you know, my likeness, I am on, I forgot what it was, I am on commentary on Coliseum Video, and I believe that I should get more money because it wasn't just a live event on pay-per-view. Now people are buying it. So I feel like I need, you know, I feel like I'm deserving of a certain piece of the pie. And Vince was referencing their contract, saying, you know, hey, that's not in your contract, blah, blah, blah. And Jesse the Body's like, well, when we signed this contract, Coliseum Video wasn't a thing, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's a pretty good story. So I forgot what episode it's on. If I think of the episode, I will give a shout-out on the show sometime. But it's a good story. Ray and I have both listened to Something to Wrestle in the past. I've listened to every single episode, and I would recommend that show. I have met multiple people in the business, because, you know, I work in the business, in case you didn't know. Boom, boom! Cheap little cheap plug. Yeah, thank you. I was just totally drawing a blank. Cheap plug for myself that I work in wrestling. Anyway, I'm just giving a hard time. I'm just giving you a hard time, Ray, because I know
you're
probably
showing off.
Yeah. But anyway, I've talked to multiple people in the wrestling business on the reel that have been to WWE, and they don't have very nice things to say about Bruce Prichard.
Really?
Yeah. One in particular. I'm not going to say his name, but we were also similar to me and Colt. We were also talking about podcasting and stuff. And he was really cool, you know, down to earth dude, big star, or used to be, it still is, you know. And he was like, "So yeah, is there any podcast that like you listen to, or has it changed since you have your own podcast?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, no, I still listen to Bruce Prichard, and you know, I gave him a couple other shows." And he said, "Well, I hope you're not a dickhead like Bruce Prichard."
Oh.
Ooh, yeah, he went there.
Okay.
Yeah. He went like 0-60 in a flash.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, that's wow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you off air who it was, but you know, he told me candidly, so I didn't wanna I don't wanna give him no heat on him, you know what I mean? I mean, by any means, I don't think, you know, Triple H is listening to the show or anything, but you know. He hasn't called me this week.
I'm trying to tell you, man, my last name is officially now McMahon. I'm part of the family. And me and Vince have a conference call twice a week.
We're going to have to, I'm going to have to rip Shane McMahon's music for you, bro. And we're going to have to, maybe we can do you a little intro a couple times
a
week.
That's my new intro music. Yes, I love it.
We'll hit up my boy, Mr. Rick Chavez. We'll get him to chop us up some music for you. And especially because, you know, your last name's Cash. We'll be like, "Here comes the money."
Bro, if you know how many money euphemisms I've used since 2010. My first column was called Money in the Bank. Then I changed it to Cashing In. I had a little blog called The ATM. Like, I've used every money euphemism possible.
Dude, ATM, that is freaking legit. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but that is legit. A blog called ATM. That's, and your last name, Cash.
Like, you get it, right? Because like fast, you get it.
Genius.
I thought I was ahead of the game. Clearly nobody else got it, but it's all right. It's all right. I thought I was doing something special, but you know, I did maybe three of those, and that's probably about it, but it's all good.
I like it, man. I like it.
I thought I was clever. When I was younger, I really thought I was clever, and then I grew up.
And then reality hit us.
Yes, got slapped in the face by reality.
So the first thing I want to talk about today, man, is something that you sent me last night that was mentioned in Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer newsletter, and that is that supposedly some progress content is going to be on the WWE Network here, it said, in quotes, in the near future.
Yes.
That is something that we talked about in the past, and we both said that that would be freaking awesome if it happened, if I remember right. We both said that. I know I said that. But I told you, and you said, well, first it started off with you saying, "Yeah, I think it'll happen pretty soon." And I came back with, "Oh, I highly doubt it, dude." Because Vince McMahon, up until, you know, here recently with the indie surge, he has always had this thing about him where he wants to own everything. And he's a businessman. I get it, you know, but he wants to own your name, say, for instance. Like when the Dudley Boys left, they didn't leave with their names and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, when indie people used to come in, or they used to come from TNA or WCW, a lot of times they would change their name, so that way he owned the rights to the name, yada, yada, yada. So I never thought that there would be not non-WWE programming on the WWE Network. But obviously I was wrong. So what do you think about the possibility that Progress is going to be on WWE Network, And do you think this is a Triple H thing?
Well, first, so I think the name thing and the business thing are different, because if you go back and it's history, he's shown that he'll help smaller companies out.
True. Very good point.
ECW's put on Raw just because he liked Paul Heyman. You know what I mean? And WWN and Evolve have done, you know, they basically had half of, access this year. Like, he'll help smaller companies. He's done that numerous times. And the name thing is just good business. The reason he wants to own the names is because now he can sell merch for the rest of his, for the rest of their life. You know, like, if he wants to come up with a Dudley Boy shirt right now, he can do it. He doesn't have to ask nobody. That's just good business. And I know it's annoying, but it's good business.
Touche. Good business.
This is Triple H. And we owe Triple H a lot since he's really kind of taken the behind the scenes job, the executive vice president job, very seriously, which is, I guess, what, 8 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Because a lot of changes Vince has started to make, you can attribute to Triple H being that bug in his ear, trying to get him to be different. You know, nobody can make Vince do anything. Vince is going to do what he wants. But Vince has always shown, as if you listen to Bruce Pritchard, he'll tell you, that he trusts the people he's around. If you get in that circle of trust, he'll really consider what you have to say. And, you know, Triple H has always been in his ear, and they've always had a trust going back to, like, 96, 97, 98. But now it's a different story where not only you're my son-in-law, but you actually have proven that you actually kind of know what you're doing from a business standpoint. But I am surprised Progress and ICW are on the network before Evolve is. But Evolve is a monthly show, and Progress and ICW have, I think, some weekly shows. But this has been in the talks for a couple of years. It's cool and it's not, and it's cool and it's not. But you know, the UK tournament. Speaking of UK, shout out to Ricky and Clive. I guest hosted Ricky and Clive with Clive with Brian. I think we recorded that sometime Wednesday. Wednesday, like, afternoon or something. But we talked about the UK division. That was just like a big preview of that. But the shows are on the 18th and the 19th. That's Monday and Tuesday after Money in the Bank weekend. And so the rumors and kind of the chatter in the air, if you will, was going to be that not only will they have two great nights of wrestling, because NXT is going to co-brand the shows too, so like there's a lot of NXT matches and stuff, but there's supposed to be an announcement that WWE's UK show, it's going to announce when it's going to be, how soon it's going to start, this, that, and the other. Because they've already started signing more talents. Like Toni Storm, she just got signed. Not to NXT. She got signed to a UK deal. So they already had the original five or six, you know, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Wolfgang, and Mark Andrews. And you could kind of throw Danny Burch and Jack Gallagher in there, even though they're signed to the company. Burch has an NXT deal and Gallagher has a 205 deal. But they've started signing a whole bunch of other guys. They've signed up to like 20 other people from what the reports are. So they're ready to go ahead and go with the show. So I figured if they were going to go ahead and go with the show, you might as well throw Progress and ICW on there. And if you remember, the reason we even brought that up the other day was because you asked me if NXT left and got on network television, what would replace it? I told you they would have the ability now to put other feds on the network to fill time. Well, they already jumped the timeline. The plan for WWE was always to be the hub for wrestling, for all wrestling. And
they Network, right?
No, WWE in general. Well, yeah, the network, sure. But, I mean, WWE wants to be the beacon. But, yeah, the network, let's be more specific, sure.
I got you. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just thinking.
No, sure.
I see what you're saying now. At first, I thought maybe you meant network, but I see what you're saying. Like, WWE wanted to be, you know, the hub, because WWE wanted to be the best. They wanted to be the NFL of football, where, you know, the best if you got the best guy from Japan playing football, he needs to be in the NFL. If you got the best wrestler from the UK, he needs to be in the WWE. That's what you meant by that, right?
Well, no, not necessarily, no. That's true. That's true, but what I mean is that WWE knows that anybody that mentions wrestling, their first thought is going to be WWE. Your second thought is going to be WWE, and probably your first 20 thoughts is going to be WWE. That's just the way it's been.
So where's the impact on that list?
You don't want to ask me. I'm the wrong person to ask that question.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
To ask that question. Boy, you made me laugh so hard, like a good belly laugh. That's funny. But I feel like in recent times, like in these past few years, they've really started to embrace diversity in other companies, right? They've shown Ring of Honor content on their network, and they've actually shouted out, said Ring of Honor's name. And everybody, they've talked about TNA. You know, they even shouted out the Global Force Network Wrestling Channel, whatever the hell it's called, on Table for Three, because they show some of AJ Styles versus Kurt Angle at Turning Point. Like, they've really, the only company they don't mention by name is New Japan. But they might not mention the name, but they mention the titles all the time.
Right. Yeah, I remember if anybody remembers when AJ Styles came in. Do you remember that when he came in number 3 in the Royal Rumble in 2016? Was it
2016? Yeah.
And JBL. I was trying to think who it was. JBL was like former IWGP champion, same as Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they definitely. So they've always, well, I won't say always. They've recently shown, they've said they have a propensity to kind of to accept other companies, you know, in certain ways. So I feel like recently, and Triple H has said as much, that they kind of want to be the hub for all wrestling, even if that means they don't own it, as long as they have an opportunity to build it. So them putting other feds on their network helps everybody. It gives the network more traffic. It creates a pipeline for I'm not trying to talk like, you know, like a young guy, but say a wrestler in ICW is killing it. Piper Niven, a.k.a. Viper, is in ICW, right? Say she's killing it so hard and she's on the network, well, that opens the door very easily for her to go ahead and sign with WWE. Because essentially you have a deal. Same thing with WWN. So you're just helping everybody, and then all of them have a bigger platform than they've ever had. So it's only helping everybody.
Absolutely.
So WWE kind of wants to be the leader in that, in the hub. And we have our companies, we have our brands, we have all of our properties. We can help some other companies now, because helping them eventually helps us. They're in talent acquisition mode. They always have been, always will be. That's why they created the Performance Center. That's why they want to create Performance Centers in every major area of the world, because they realize that without talent, they ain't got nothing. They've also realized that we could also get talent from the indies too. That's most of their roster nowadays.
Right. Yeah, I dig it, man. It's really cool, man. It's really cool to see what is going on with the WWE Network and the stuff that we will have to look forward to in the hopefully really near future, you know?
It's weird. If you grew up in wrestling, if you grew up watching wrestling like we did in the 90s or even further back, 70s or 80s, and you were to look at it now, like say if you walked away for 20 years, you just started back watching like 5 years ago, your mind would be blown.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Your mind would be blown. Who is this small guy with a beard main event shows? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who is this? And when I say this, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm trying to think of what a casual fan would say. So no disrespect. I don't believe this. But who's this fat guy out here, you know, choking people out, Samoa Joe? Like,
right.
The whole, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everything is so different now.
Yeah.
And then just the way Vince does business is different. Like, so many things are different that it would blow your mind if you never watched it before. Like, you'd have to really ingratiate yourself completely to understand what's going on.
Right.
Have you watched before?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, let's take a quick pause for the cause, and then we'll get into our next rabbit hole topic, my friend. All right, guys, we'll be right back. All right, guys, and we are back for topic numero two. So the article that is in question. Well, let me back up here. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. As y'all know, Ray and I and the World Class Radio are a part of thechairshot.com, the Chairshot Radio Network. But I say that because I wanted to say this. I do not want anyone thinking out there thinking that we are referencing this article solely because we are affiliated with the Chairshot. This article just happened to be on the website that Ray writes for and that our show is on their internet radio station. But it's entitled Mediocre is Money for Vince McMahon. And it was written by Corey Guns. Neither one of us know Corey Guns. I'm sure he's a really cool guy. But anyway.
Well, I know a Corey Guns, but he's a rapper. So
Corey Guns. There's a rapper named Corey Guns?
You know the Lil Wayne song, 6 foot, 7 foot?
6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot, yeah. Oh!
The guy at the end of that song, uh-huh. His name is Corey Guns, so.
Really?
Yeah, small world.
Yeah, I didn't know
that. I doubt this is the same Corey Guns, but nonetheless, shout out to both Corey Guns. Corey, the rapper, if you're listening, what up? Corey, the writer, if you're listening, what's up?
Yeah, what up? Doing my too sweet symbol. I just realized I never sent you that video where they meshed up the Migos song with I believe it was Can't Touch This.
I saw it. It's
you have seen it. You have seen it.
Yeah.
that was the greatest mashup ever. I think it was the best one ever, seriously.
It's pretty good, yeah. It's really good.
So anyway, back to this article. This article is talking about, just as the title said, Mediocre is Money for Vince McMahon. And it's basically talking about in May of 1998, in the month of May, Monday Night Raw's TV ratings were a 5.5. The lowest point it got in any point of the show for that entire month, so any of the four episodes, was a 4.2. And basically, you know, it's talking about how now Raw, which is the A show, averages between 3 and 3.5 million viewers, and how that's a substantial drop from 1998, and talking in reference that to how much money is being paid for the B show. So first off, I just wanted to say, in my opinion, and I think you will agree, that it is really hard to compare ratings from 2018 to ratings in 1998. Absolutely. And for one thing, and jump in here if I say anything wrong or if you got anything that you want to add, but this is just my personal view. First thing is, it's 2018, everyone's got a satellite. Everyone's got Netflix, everyone's got Hulu, everyone's got Amazon Prime, and everyone's
tablets, yeah.
And everyone's got YouTube.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can torrent anything. As soon as Raw is over, you can torrent it off the Pirates Bay.
People torrent it while it's on, bro.
Oh yeah, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can straight up do that, cuz you can just you can start streaming or downloading on the front end, and the back end is still recording. So yeah, touche. Yeah. So literally, there is so many avenues of entertainment in today's world that a generation has grown up with thus far, that when you and I were in the third or fourth grade, in 1998, that we didn't have. So of course, every child our age was only watching a handful of things back then. Wrestling probably being the biggest one. Wouldn't you agree?
I would totally agree. And we were watching it at the time it came on. Otherwise, you missed it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you have DVRs where you can watch it later on, or you can skip it. you said Hulu. There's a condensed version of wrestling of Raw and SmackDown on Hulu, which is it cuts out a lot of the filler. YouTube puts up the clips of the most important clips of matches and segments and promos up literally 20 minutes after they show, you know. So yeah, and then cord cutting. People don't even have cable or satellite anymore. People just use internet streaming for their television. So yeah, the world is. The way we consume television entertainment is massively different than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yes. Yeah, cord cutting. I never can remember that it's called that, you know, where people don't have cable anymore. It's just, you know.
Traditional cable.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Because it's still a cable package.
Right.
It's not traditional where you got to hook up the coaxial cable and get a cable box. You know, it's different conduit, yeah.
Exactly.
It's essentially still a version of cable.
You know, and also, in my opinion, it's hard. Oh, and I was going to say, before I forget, so when we had this discussion on Tuesday, before the really early Raw review, we talked for about 40 minutes in reference to the Fox and WWE deal. And we referenced the ratings at one point in time, and I said that the ratings Meltzer gives is DVR plus 7, which means it's the DVR. You get everyone that watched it live, plus everyone that watched it on their recorded DVR within 7 days. I actually looked up today some ratings on the Wrestling Observer newsletter, and he specifically said that this does not include the DVR ratings. So I told Ray before we went on air today, like, I do apologize. I completely was wrong on that. Either back in the day, he used to give the DVR ratings, or he never has, and I had him confused with Wade Keller or someone like that. But I've read, obviously, I was not reading Dave Meltzer's ratings when I seen the DVR plus 7. So I do apologize, Ray, because I was very adamant. I was like, nah, bro, trust me. Trust me, man. I know it all. I got you. I wouldn't steer you wrong. but anyway, what I was getting at with that was it's a completely different product, man. As everyone knows, in 1998, we was on the tail end of, you know, Generation X. You know?
Yes. We were just started getting pretty hot.
Yeah, attitudes just started getting hot in 97. Jerry Springer was all the rage, just, you know, a Vince Russo-esque style of booking where it was just like boom, 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 boom. And it really appealed to, you know, 12 to 22-year-olds that had, like, short attention spans, right?
And the world was more angsty. I mean, think about that. That's the rise of gangster rap. That's the rise of nu metal music. You know, like, the world was just super angsty at that point in time. People were upset. People were mad. People were tired of feeling depressed and not important, and they were really expressing themselves. So it was just a really unique time. You know how old folk always... I say old folk. We're turning old folk, Jordan. But you know how the generation above us always talks about the 70s and how transformative a time it was?
Right.
Flower power and Woodstock and the Vietnam War and, you know, the end of segregation and all these major things that happened in a small period. And everybody, if you grew up like you did the majority of your growing up between 65 and 75, you are a specific type of person. Odds are.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of how it was for us from like 93, 94 to like 2001.
I agree.
It's just a very specific thing we all went to because the world was so unique in that time period, which definitely played into television.
Yep. Every generation or two, there is almost a revolt. And that's, you know, when you had, the 60s and the 70s, and they were revolting against, Vietnam and everything was, you know, there was a a whole generation growing up in that time frame, like you said, from 65 to 75, that was turning a corner. Well, in the 90s, we had another one, 20 years, 25 years later, and we're turning a corner, people that were our age and a little bit older. And, you know, like I said a minute ago, attention spans were different. What we liked in wrestling was different. And if you watch back to the Attitude Era, there was not a lot of prominence, or there was, that's the wrong word, there was not a lot of stock put into in-ring product. It was a show as a whole, and it was storylines, Crash TV. Yeah, that's the best. That's the exact best way to put it, is Crash TV. And Vince Russo made a lot of money in that time frame because it was swerve. And it's not like that anymore. Thank God. You know what I mean? I don't think...
Let some fans say it should be, but...
Yeah, that's probably... We should probably save that for another time, though.
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation to have. Yes.
Yeah, because me and you could probably talk for 2 hours just on our feelings. Because I'm pretty sure that we agree on that, in that the Attitude Era was fun, and it's fun to look back at fondly. But in these, when it comes to pure wrestling, this is the far better product, what we have today, wouldn't you say?
Well, let me give an analogy in life, right?
All right, let's hear it.
All of us has had those moments, and this might hit a little too close to home, Jordan, so forgive me. But all of us have had those moments in our lives where we just wanted to party and go to the club and get drunk if you drink, or get high if you do drugs, whatever it was, and just wow the F out. We've all had those moments. And then you wake up and realize, damn, I got kids. I got a job. I kind of got to be a normal person. So I look at the Attitude Era as a human being's binge years. It was great. We had a blast. I loved it. Can't relive it, though. I'm 30 years old. I can't drink like I used to when I was 22. I just can't.
I love that analogy, bro. That is spot on. That was like our growing up phase. Like, all right, we're going to go wild now before we settle into 20, 30-minute matches to open up Raw.
to pardon the pun from one of the greatest movies of all time, Coming to America, the Attitude Era was essentially wrestling sowing its royal oats. And now it's married.
I dig it.
It's married, and it has commitments, and it has responsibilities.
Yes, yes. I love Coming to America. I wonder if that's on Netflix. I'm going to watch it today if it is.
I don't think it's on Netflix, but it might be on Hulu.
Ah, okay. I got you. I got Hulu too, so I'll check it. I will check it, bro. But yeah, man. So anyway, that's why I wanted to reference this article, because this article was talking about, it says, Fox just paid the WWE $1 billion for the rights to air SmackDown Live starting in October of 2019. Yes, that's a billion with a B, and yes, that is the rights to SmackDown, not Raw, but SmackDown Live. $1 billion for a show that gets lower TV ratings than Raw does. What does this all mean? The WWE brand is alive and well, and it means that the wrestling business belongs to the investors, TV networks, and advertisers. The business plan going forward for the WWE is simply stay the course, play it safe, keep the networks happy. He goes on to say, when I first heard the news of SmackDown potentially moving to a different network, I thought it might be the best thing to happen if fans want to really see some changes in the product. Having two different shows on two different networks might create true competition from the two, as each brand would be under pressure to garner ratings and keep their respective networks happy. Not quite the Monday Night Wars, but maybe the closest we would ever get in today's landscape. However, reality then struck me that the WWE now has no reason to change anything. So talk to me for a minute, Ray, because I know that you and I are both big WWE fans, and do you have a lot of complaints about the current WWE product, and does this big new $1 billion contract kind of tell the WWE, hey, don't fix what's not broken?
Can I answer the second question first?
Absolutely.
So no, everything is how you look at it.
Okay.
Everything in life is about perspective. So I had a good conversation with my good friend, Chad Matthews, the doc from LOP yesterday. And forgive me, I'm getting to a point, but just walk with me here.
Yeah.
Chad and I started writing together in 2010. That's when he started as a full-time Calvinist, and so did I. So we've been pretty tight since then. We've met each other in real life. I've met his father. Like, I would consider the guy a genuine friend outside of wrestling, right?
Right.
So I don't like to, I mean, it's crazy because normally you want to argue with your friends because they're the ones that you feel like you can get away with things with. But with Chad, I have so much reverence and respect for him that if I know the argument's going to go left, I'd rather not argue with him. So we have not had a wrestling conversation in months until yesterday because I know where he is on stuff now. He knows where I am, and I respect him too much to go there with him because it's not – I want to say civil, but we're so passionate about our sides, it's only inevitable that it's going to get heated. Not malicious, but heated. But anyway, we had a long conversation yesterday, kind of similarly about the same thing. And I say it's perspective because it's this. If you are one of the people that think that WWE is bad right now, then of course you would say that, well, this money means they can stay bad. If you're on the other side of that, then you would say, if you think that WWE programming is good right now, then you would say that the deals that they're making is proof that it's good. The answer's in the middle, okay? I, by and large, like the majority of what WWE does. And the stuff that I don't like, I realize is not for me. Now, I can criticize things in real time, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain. Just let me throw out, I know this is dated, I know this is wild, but this was a big point of contention back in the day. I'm not going to complain about Hornswoggle being on my TV because Hornswoggle was important to some people. Like, I know what he was there for, you know? So that's not a point of contention for me because that's not for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I realize everything in wrestling isn't for me. But the answer is in the middle because so them making this money shows WWE that there is a market for our product and there are people who are going to continue to consume our product regardless of what any chatter is, good, bad, or indifferent. It's factual. That nothing I just said in that moment, in that statement can be refuted. That's facts. But it also doesn't mean that they can rest on their laurels, which they never have rested on their laurels. In fact, I'd argue now more than ever WWE has taken more chances than they've ever taken.
Really?
Well, okay, let's think about it. 4 years ago, they took all the pay-per-views off of a huge revenue-generating stream to put on a network for $10 a month. That's a risk.
Yeah, dang, right? Has it already been, how long has it been, four years?
2014, February 2014.
Wow, that's crazy.
Is when the network went live.
That's okay? Insane.
That's a huge risk. They changed their entire business model. They've put more world champions that weren't quote unquote top guys in the past 5 years than maybe ever. Kevin Owens was a champion. Daniel Bryan was a champion. I would consider Rollins probably top guy material, but Jinder Mahal was a champion. All these guys that have held world championships in the past few years. And I know there's more I can think that if I would have really tried to think, I could, but it's off the top of my head, you know. Those are risks. Because traditionally, who were the champions back in the day? The biggest stars of the biggest stars. Kevin Owens isn't one of the biggest stars in the company. He's not one of the top stars in the company. He's a bigger star. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's a risk. They're taking tons of risks. They've main evented, they changed the way wrestling perceives women and have main evented shows women. That's a risk.
True.
That's a risk.
True story.
Right?
Yeah.
So they've taken more risks than they've ever taken before. The problem with that is people wrestling is such a product that's built on familiarity more than almost any product out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's entertainment like that. Comic books are the same way. Fantastic Four, they redid a movie, and Johnny Storm is black, and people lost their minds. Not because they're racist, just because comic book guys want things to be like they are in the comics.
Yeah,
and Johnny Storm
familiar
is black.
Familiar is safe.
Exactly. Familiarity. Familiar is safe is a wonderful, wonderful kind of blurb to take everything I'm saying in context. Familiar is safe. So as wrestling fans, we're used to a certain thing, right? We're used to good guy versus bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're used to TV leads to pay-per-views, not the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. We're used to certain tropes, and they've completely thrown all those tropes out of the air. You know, the pay-per-view models don't make... the pay-per-views essentially don't matter anymore because they're all $10. TV essentially doesn't matter anymore because the pay-per-views don't matter, why does the TV matter? You know? And mm-hmm. then there's not one top guy because you have so many people who have a claim to one week you'll have Charlotte main eventing a show or a pay-per-view. The next week you have the tag teams main eventing a show. The next week you have Roman main eventing a show. The next week Roman ain't even on the show. You know, like it's then Brock Lesnar decides to come back and the show's all about Brock. Things are so different now that I feel like a big portion of that and that unfamiliarity is why fans are so turned off. And yes, there are things that are very, very bad or weird. The Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn segment there was a point to it, but it didn't hit. It happens. It happens, right?
Right. Yeah, totally.
But so your answer is in the middle. Your answer is somewhere in the middle that WWE will never rest on their laurels and think that they can just get away with stuff because they got the money. But it validates that they're doing something right. And I think that part about the validation is something that people who are negative or heavily critical of the product don't want to accept.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that ad nauseum. We've talked about that completely way more than we ever need to.
Yeah.
We've talked about that. But there's no way. And I'm sorry to keep saying, but there's no way that this company is making all this money and somebody's not liking the product. And yes, to kind of maybe lead you to the next point, I don't know where you want to go after this, but in the article he said something very poignant that is really true to a certain extent. WWE has moved away from fan-based revenue. Their revenue isn't contingent on merchandise, live gates, and pay-per-view revenue anymore. It's not. They've moved away from that. They've moved into, well, they become a corporately traded company, which means that they have more earning potential than they've ever had before, based on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
They've cleaned their product up to the point where now they have legitimate advertisers. TV rights are through the roof now because out of all 25 years Raw's been on the air, the one constant on television has been Raw and The Simpsons. That's it.
True.
Everything else has left or peaked or valleyed or all that stuff. Raw has always been consistent. And maybe the ratings aren't what they used to be, but I guarantee you to look all across television, the one constant is every night, every Monday, Raw's top three.
Yeah.
Every Monday. That has never changed. Consistency. That's what TV channels want. Things are so different, and but it doesn't mean necessarily bad. And the fans, there may not be a premium on. The company's always contingent on fans. I don't want to make it seem like it's not. But they found a way to be profitable without being able to placate every fan. Because they never were able to placate every fan. They had a 4-year run where they just... You watch baseball, right?
Right.
you've seen guys hit 20, 30, 40 game hit streaks, right?
Right.
And after that, they go 3, 4, 5, 6 games, 0 for 3, 0 for 4, 0 for 5. What happened?
Yeah, just hit the slump sometimes.
And sometimes you're just hot.
Yeah, sometimes hot, sometimes not.
So we need to really stop looking at the attitude era like that was, while it's the most successful period of the business in terms of ratings and in terms of a lot of metrics, right? Right. We got to stop looking at it like that's what wrestling should be and looking at it like what it really is. It was a really hot streak. It was just a hot streak that just happened to just be on fire for the better part of 4 years. It's not the norm. It's the exception to the norm.
I dig it. I absolutely dig it. I mean, I don't think there's any better way for anyone to put it when it comes to, you know, the opinion that you have. And I'm not saying that you're the only one to have that opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I knew reading that article that we needed to talk about that because it was just, you know, it was vastly different than what we had talked about on Tuesday. Don't get me wrong. I want to say again that we didn't just pick that because it was the chair shot. We just picked it, or I picked it and brought it to Ray because it is a good article. Don't get me wrong.
It's a really good article.
Yeah.
Vince Russo tweeted it. It's a good article.
You said Vince Russo tweeted it?
Vince Russo retweeted it, yes.
What?
Talked about it, yes. Retweeted it and said that directly that this is a really good article, yeah.
That's legit. That is legit.
It's a really good article.
Yeah, yeah. So, I legit did not know that. I'm kind of flabbergasted that. I was like, oh my God, I would have mentioned that first thing if I'd have known. And it's funny, because we talked about Vince Russo a bit. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool. Really cool article, and really cool, really liked the viewpoint, Ray, and thanks for explaining it to us. Before we head off, I just wanted to make sure that we talked at least for a minute about what I'm going to be doing this Saturday, which is tomorrow. I will be there come 10 a.m. I'm going to pull up...
Before you talk about that, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to end the show on that because that's super important. I want that to be the last thing people hear.
Okay, go for it, man.
My column this week on Chair Shot was a few days late, but I want you to read it, but I mean, I understand everybody can't read everything, but I want to touch on that and just kind of put it in the ears of people listening, because I mean, it's really important to me. I worked hard on it, but I really want people to, what I try to do as a writer or a podcaster or a personality in wrestling, because I'm nobody. I'm just a regular dude at home. But I want to try to open people's minds and get people away from staying and just sticking on their opinion and not allowing themselves to open their minds to other thought processes, right? That's what I try to do. So the column I wrote was about character alignment. I don't know if anybody's ever played Dungeons and Dragons listening. Have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons before?
I have not. I have not.
So I haven't either, but they started in 74. They created a morality scale in which how characters are kind of aligned, right? So instead of good and evil, they meshed good versus evil and law versus chaos, and there's 9 alignments that a character could be, essentially, right?
Okay.
So you have your lawful good, your lawful neutral, your lawful evil. You have your chaotic good, your chaotic neutral, your chaotic evil, and then you have your neutral good, your neutral evil, and your true neutral. And it all started based on the Roman Reigns article, where he basically said, "Well, if I'm already getting booed, why would I try to go and get booed? Aren't I already a heel anyways?" Whatever, basically what he said.
Right.
So I kind of broke down the differences in those different in those alignments and what which wrestler I thought was aligned that way. And more importantly, I tried to explain that that characters aren't linear anymore, and largely aren't linear anymore. It's often not just regular good guy versus regular bad guy. It's more about character motivations and perspectives. You know, so that's why you'll have good guys hitting with bad guys, or bad guys hitting with good guys, or bad guys feuding with bad guys, and good guys feuding with good guys, or a good guy does heelish things, or a bad guy does good things. And it's still, you know, it's because it's not just run-of-the-mill good and bad. It's right. Not Hulk Hogan versus Iron Sheik anymore. We've moved past that. So I just wanted to shout that out and put that bug in people's ear, because I really want people to open up their minds when it comes to character stuff, because the arguments we have on the internet a lot of the times that will never end, if people really just opened their minds and thought about things differently, we wouldn't be arguing about it. We're still arguing about if Roman Reigns is a face or not. Why? That's one of the arguments that we should be past that.
Right. True story. You know?
But we're still arguing about it because we want to allow ourselves to think differently. Including me. We all could do it better. So I just really want y'all to take a look at that.
I dig it, man. I dig it 100%. I'm trying to do my own form of that in trying to look at Roman Reigns in a different light by watching his matches on mute. And that's a form of, you know, what we're talking about there, you know. Trying to look at stuff in a different light and trying to give things a chance, or trying to maybe go against the grain on purpose just to get a different viewpoint, you know. So, yeah, totally agree with you, man. Totally agree with you. I wanted to, like I was saying, I wanted to close out the show today to talk about what I will be doing tomorrow, which is Saturday, May 26, 2018. We are going to be in Wichita, Kansas. When I say we, I'm talking about World Class Revolution Pro Wrestling, my home, and I'm dabbing right now. No, for real, as everyone knows, I am the publicist for World Class Revolution. I have also done commentary work. I would consider myself the commentary intern, if you will. But my main job is, number one, I'm the publicist, and number two, I'm just this guy that gets to mark out when I get to work with all these great wrestlers. I just wanted to give everyone a shout-out to let you know that we will be at the Cotillion in Wichita, Kansas, and big, bad Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Diesel, will be in the house, so that'll be freaking awesome, dude. I'm going to try to do the two sweet sign to him to see if he'll do it back to me. I think he will, don't you? What if he slaps me upside the head? Dude, he's 7 foot tall. He slapped me upside the head and might break my neck. My boy Trevor Murdoch will be there. This will be like the third time that I've got to work with Trevor Murdoch. I absolutely love him. He was the first person I seen last Saturday in El Dorado, Arkansas, when I came in and I seen our show emblem, our show logo on the ring apron. And Trevor Murdoch was in there stretching, getting ready, and I was just like, oh my God, Trevor Murdoch is stretching in a ring that has got our show logo on it. It was absolutely phenomenal. When I walked up to check it out, Trevor called me by name, and I just thought that was cool too. Like, Trevor Murdoch knows my name. You know what I mean? Just find that so cool. But Matt Stryker will be there. My boy Chavo Guerrero will also be there. Friend of the show, Chavo. MVP will be there. Simon Grimm, which is formerly known as Simon Gotch, which was Aiden English's tag team partner in the Vaudevillains in NXT and the WWE main roster. The always hated Aero Club's going to be there. My boys, my partners in crime, good crime, because they're good guys, not like me and Ray. Me and Ray be getting in trouble and stuff. But yes. Me and the Von Erichs, we'd be like, the bad stuff we do is like eat at Taco Bell after 8 p.m. You know what I'm saying? So they're a good influence on me. But the Von Erichs, Marshall and Ross, my carpooling buddies, they'll be there. Victoria from the WWE, Lisa Varon, Lisa Marie Varon, she'll be there as well. My homegirl, Jessie Jane, Jesse is a girl I was taking a picture with that I shared all over social media whenever the Joey Ryan photobombed us, which I just thought was one of the coolest days in my wrestling career thus far. And when I say my wrestling career, y'all know I don't work in the ring. I just mean, like, you know, in the business. But finally, our world heavyweight champion, Mr. Jack Swagger, will be there. Man, it's just going to be, it's going to be an awesome night. It's a TV taping, so I'll have lots of pictures to share with y'all on Twitter. I'll be giving y'all some backstage pictures, some backstage stories come Monday morning. So don't forget to follow my personal account at Fox the Podcaster and follow the show at World Class Daily. That's World Class Daily. You can also follow Ray at It's Ray Cash. I want to say thank you to Ray very much for being so supportive, especially when I first got on with the wrestling business and I was actually nervous about my first day when we was in Quinlan. I'll always remember this, Quinlan, Texas, April 14th, 2018. And I told Ray, I was like, man, I'm freaking nervous. Like, I don't know what to do. And you actually gave me a little pep talk. And you're like, man, hey, just make sure, shake everyone's hand, be cordial. Like, you know, you kind of had to talk me off the ledge a little bit. So I'm always very appreciative that you did that for me. That was very awesome of you.
Tell the truth, Jordan. I told you to go to everybody you saw, look at them in the eyes, point at your eyes and say, look at me. I'm the captain now. I'm just playing. Jerry, if you listen, I'm joking.
Bri, he means it. Bri Willingham is my my first line supervisor.
Hey.
He means it.
I don't want to mess with Jerry, but I damn sure don't want to mess with Bri. Just a joke.
AKA Annalyn Storm. She could get pretty evil up in the ring, bro. She get pretty evil.
I do not want no problems with Mrs. Willingham at all.
I've seen her do some dastardly things. Speaking of, to Joey Ryan, she did some dastardly things to him, to a couple other guys. I don't want to mention anyone else's names because just in case I accidentally mentioned something that happened on TV taping that hasn't come out yet, so I'm not going to mention anything more. But because knowing me, I'll have to be like, God dang it, I got to go edit that out. hopefully it hasn't played on Chairshot Radio Network yet, you know. I left the best name for last, and when I say that, I mean I forgot to mention his name. But dude, you're not gonna believe who's gonna be there. Juventud Guerrera.
Oh, the Juice.
The Juice is gonna be there, bro. How freaking cool is that, man? I remember when they had him on commentary for a while in WCW, I remember he was the first person to ever see do the 450 splash, which I just thought was absolutely freaking phenomenal. But yeah, he will be there, man. That's freaking awesome. That is absolutely awesome, man. So don't forget, guys, if you're in the Wichita, Kansas area, or if you don't mind making the drive, be sure and be there or be square. This is Clash of the Cotillion. I believe this is the third one. I believe this is Clash of the Cotillion 3. So don't forget to be there. If you're going to be there by chance, hit us up on Twitter. I will make sure and come and meet you personally if you listen to the show and you're coming to World Class Revolution Pro Wrestling Show. So eventually, me and Ray are going to get some shirts made up and get them out to people, so when you go to an indie event, you can definitely tag us in some pictures of you in the crowd with your World Class Radio shirt on, which I think will be freaking phenomenal. But yeah, man, as y'all can tell, I'm extremely passionate about a few things. World Class Revolution, World Class Radio, my sobriety, and popcorn. I love popcorn. Ray, you got anything you want to add before we take off, bro?
No, just, you know, try to check the column out if you can. You got some time. Check out the homeboys Ricky and Clive, aka Rance and Clive, this week since I replaced Ricky. We had a good conversation about the UK division. You know, we try to do our thing, man. Support the podcast, support Jordan, support myself. Go to the show. If you are in Wichita, if you're in the Wichita area, go to the show.
Yeah.
Go to the show. if I could drive up there this weekend, I would. Yeah, that's it for me, man. Thank you guys for listening. Have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Everyone, enjoy the weekend. Ray, you do the same. I'll be texting you every 20 minutes, so it's not going to be like we're not going to be talking to each other between now and Monday. I usually send Ray pictures before as soon as I get them, if I get a good one, which every picture I take is a good one. So when it comes to, you know, behind-the-scene wrestling shows, what I mean, not because I'm a good photographer, but just because when you're a mark like Ray and myself, you know, like seeing, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund backstage, you know, between takes is just really cool to us. But anyway, yeah. Like Ray said, go check out his article. It is pinned up to the Twitter, on top of the Twitter account, the Twitter page, however you want to word that. It is pinned on there right now, so go check it out. And everyone, have a great weekend. And for Ray and myself, I got my too sweet hand up and saying, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?